I brought it today because I'm going to dig up some old wells. I'm just going to let you look at that today and just remind you that Pastor is going to dig up some old wells. Let me tell you what I mean by that from Genesis 26:18. It says, "Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them." Lord, I just pray that your spirit would be with us today as we dig into your word, God. Father, I pray that the truths that have not changed would be revealed today, Lord. I pray, God, that conviction, the revelation of the Holy Spirit would light us up inside and that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free, Lord. I pray that we would be the kind of people who leave here with the truth and we take it with us and we light up the world with your ever, ever firm, never changing truth. I thank you for it, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Well, I had a completely different sermon ready until this morning, and the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart today. And so I didn't have a lot of time to study, except when I told the Lord that, he said, "I've been preparing you for this your whole life." How many of you know what that's like? Amen. God's been preparing you for your things in your ministry your whole life. Praise his name. In the story, we see that Abraham, the father of our faith, right, had dug some wells, and they had provided nourishment and sustenance for him and his family and his people and his herds and all of that. Well, the Philistines came around, and they buried them all up. Makes you wonder why they would do something like that. You know, in the past, you can go all the way back to the Bible. The Word of God has been the nourishment and truth for people, amen? There's all kinds of opinions. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got an idea. Everyone's got a thought. But it's the Word of God that's firm and steadfast and lasts forever. It has been feeding us for a long, long time. Amen? And it does not change. But I want you to know that the world, like the Philistines, is trying to stop up that well of truth. The world is trying to stop up that well of truth. And it's important for us to dig up those old wells and remind ourselves that although there are new songs in church and there are maybe new ways, we used to have pews and now we have chairs. We used to have baptistries back there and now we got black walls. We used to start at 11, now we start at 1:30, and we used to be here and now we're there. Things change, but it is the never-changing Word of God that is really what matters. Amen? And I want to go over some things today just to remind us of what we believe. And maybe you don't believe them, but I believe them. So that's the title of my message today, is that I still believe. In spite of the fact that the world is trying to tell us that the Bible doesn't really say what it says, that the Bible was translated by so many people, it's no longer reliable anymore. Have you heard that one? That's a big fat lie. Can I promise you that's a big fat lie? That the Bible doesn't really mean what it says. It means other things. And you can't trust what it says. You have to let me tell you what it says or what it means. And I want to dig up some old wells because these are some basic truths from the Word of God that we have to, as a church, as Christians, just plant our feet on and not be moved. Can you say amen to that? Number one is, I still believe in conviction. I still believe in conviction. What is conviction? Conviction is this: when the Holy Spirit turns a light on in your spirit and lets you know what the truth is. And oftentimes, if you're a sinner, you got sin in your life. The truth is, you're a sinner and you got truth in your sin in your life, right? That's what conviction does. The Bible says in John 16:8, and he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and judgment. I still believe that God convicts people of sin. I still believe that we shouldn't be proud of sin. I still believe we shouldn't act like sin doesn't matter anymore. I don't believe that grace is a license to sin. I believe grace is the power that we don't have to sin anymore. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that sin is sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know what? We have all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of God's glory. Heaven's standard is perfection. If you want to get to heaven, if you want to be in the presence of God, you're going to have to be perfect. And you and I can't do that on our own because we've all got sin in our lives. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I still believe that in order to come to Jesus, you have to admit that you have sinned and that you need a Savior. Come on. All of this preaching and talking about salvation being something where you're really not a bad person, you're a good person, but Jesus will make you a better person, or Jesus will make your life better and fix everything around you. Can I tell you, you will never come to a real experience with God until you first admit the fact that you've got sin in your life. There's nothing you can do about it, and it stinks. And God is the only one who can take care of it. Conviction turns the light on, and it lets the world know that sin is sin. Come on, the Bible talks about a time where people would be so proud of their sin, they'd flaunt it. They'd act like it's not only is it okay, but they'd celebrate it. And what do we have today? The celebration of sin. The people standing on top of their tabletops and chairs and screaming at Christians how awful we are for talking about sin and how proud they are for living in sin. And I want to tell you today, there is a time of judgment that's coming. Come on. When you get into the presence of the Holy Spirit and He convicts you, not only do you realize that sin is sin, you realize that God is holy, and that's a problem right there. Because when your ugly sin meets a holy God, judgment is coming. Come on. That ought to point people to Jesus. I believe the reason that people aren't being born into the kingdom of God like they once were is because people don't rely on conviction. They rely on intellectual arguments. Let me convince you with your mind. But can I tell you something? The Bible says that without the Spirit, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And that you can't understand things without the Spirit. It's a spiritual understanding, and it begins with conviction. While the world will try to water it down, I'm here to tell you, I still believe in conviction. When we preach the word, when we tell our testimony, when we talk about God, the Holy Spirit begins to light up souls inside and let them see the truth as it really is. Come on. Hallelujah. I still believe in conviction. I still believe in repentance. Acts 2, 37 through 38. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They had heard the preaching of the word by Peter. And they were pierced to the heart. You know what that pierced to the heart is? That's conviction. The light came on inside them, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repentance, repentance, repentance. You know what repentance means? It means turning away from, changing your mind about things. You're not going to not only do things, you're going to stop thinking the same way. Let me tell you what repentance always really comes down to. Oftentimes we think it's about changing our actions and stuff, and that's a result of it. But really, repentance is this. It's saying, I'm not going to be God anymore. I'm going to let God be God. I'm not going to be the Lord of my life and do things my way. I'm not going to be the one who decides how things should be. I'm turning from me being the one who's going to make my life good and save my own self, and I'm turning to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm doing it His way. I'm following His path. I'm letting Him be God, and I am not. Every time in my life when I have sin and I've just got the Holy Spirit turns a light on, and there's got to be a change in me. And you know, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you want to know one of the ways that you're really born again is the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. He will convict you of sin. Now, He won't condemn you of sin because you're a child of God, but He will correct you. He will not let you just do whatever you want to do. It will bug you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When you're living in a lie or doing something you shouldn't do repeatedly, and the Holy Spirit is saying, Hey, we're not doing this. Nope. You're better than that. I'm better than that. I made you better than that. You know what I'm talking about? And then we must repent. We must decide, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it God's way. Hallelujah. I'm going to let go, and I'm going to make some changes. And it begins with the decisions that we make and how we think about things. I believe in altars of prayer where people come down tired of their sin, understanding the sickness of sin, and repenting of sin. Are you with me today? Come on, we don't want to get into that ugly stuff. The world doesn't want to get into that ugly stuff. They're trying to bury this well up. They're trying to tell you that it doesn't matter, that Christianity has become sort of a social club where we can all just hang out and have programs and love one another. But I believe in conviction of sin. And people who are so convicted of sin, they fall on their knees and they repent. They turn away from the way they've been thinking and living. I believe in repentance. I still believe in being born again. Come on. Hallelujah. I believe in the salvation experience where your dead spirit is brought to life by faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. John 3:3, Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what Christianity is? It's being brought to life. Come on. It's not, now this, you may have heard this before. Christianity is not when God makes bad people good. It's when he makes dead people come to life. Hallelujah. Yes. It's when he brings the dead to life. When the spirit in you, the part of you that connects to God, has been dead, and he brings your dead spirit to life. Now, how does that happen? It happens when he convicts us of our sin. We admit that we need a Savior. We turn to Jesus. And when we do, the Bible says that our spirits are brought to life. Amen. I am a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. All the other stuff is old and gone away with. I have been made new in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? I still believe in a life-changing salvation experience where you don't just check a box saying that you're Christian on an application. No, I believe that you have an interaction with God that makes you a different person, that changes your nature, that does something on the inside of you that changes you forever, and you're never the same again. Come on. You may look the same on the outside. You may have some of the same thoughts in your mind, but deep inside of you, God has birthed something in you that's never going to die. Can somebody say praise him today? I still believe that Jesus transforms people's lives when they are born again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, we got to dig up these old wells from time to time, because the world will try to convince you that this stuff ain't true and ain't real. Even Christians today are saying things that, are trying to tell you that it's just not real. You don't need to go to church. Miracles aren't real, and the Bible's not absolutely true. Have you heard this stuff on the internet before? It's being propagated by Christians, people claiming to be Christians out there. And one of the things people are saying is there's no such thing as a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you today, I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe that when you become a child of God, the Spirit comes inside of you. But there's something even more for you, that when you're ready for ministry, the Spirit comes upon you. Amen? The Spirit comes upon you. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Come on, somebody needs their house filled today. Amen. Somebody needs their house filled. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Praise the name of the Lord our God. I'm glad that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a biblical doctrine I still believe in. Amen. I'm glad for the day that God filled me with the Holy Spirit and changed me not just on the inside but on the outside. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit still lives within me and upon me for his purpose today. I still believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I still believe in the manifestation of speaking in tongues. There are a lot of people today who are trying to tell you that they don't believe in speaking in tongues, that that was for the first century, for the Apostle Paul. And now that the apostles are all gone, we don't need that. We've got the Bible, and we don't need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We don't need all of that. I'm here to tell you today, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. Maybe you're good enough that you can control your flesh on your own. I don't know about you. Maybe you're talented enough to do what God called you to do. Maybe you're that good and that spiritual, but I'm not. I need the Holy Spirit upon my flesh to help me live as I should live, to pick me up when I fall down, to bring out of me the things that I need brought out of me. Come on. People are saying that that's not real anymore, but I'm here to tell you today that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives power to your flesh, to your mind, to your body, to your will, so that you can do what God called you to do. In fact, I'll go this far. If you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're going to struggle living the life God called you to live. Because you need the power upon your life to help you think like you should. Come on. To help you talk like you should. To help you shut up when you need to shut up. To help you love when you need to love. To help you get rid of the hate. To stop you. Now, we're all human. Have you ever noticed, like, when you start to go down a road of hate and division and anger and you start to live in the flesh and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is upon you, and because it is, he just kind of grabs you by the nape of the neck and just pulls you back where you belong? Come on. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit just grab you and close your mouth or change your mind or make you do something that you didn't want to do? Hallelujah. I'm grateful for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Apostle Paul, I don't know if you can hear me, but I am in competition with you because I speak in tongues every chance I get. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will remind me, hey, Milan, you need to pray in tongues. You know why you need to pray in tongues? You know why? It isn't so that brother so-and-so over there can think you're spiritual. You need to pray in tongues in your home. And let me tell you why. Because when you pray in your natural language, your mind is involved. And your mind is imperfect. So sometimes when we pray in the natural, we often are praying our own will. We're telling God what we want, or it's being filtered through our own thoughts, and we don't always know the will of God. But can I promise you something? The Bible says here they were praying in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You don't need to worry about the syllables that come out of your mouth. That's God's business. It doesn't matter how it sounds. There's a lot of other languages that sound funny to us, don't it? And I imagine if you went to some other countries and you spoke English, they'd think you sounded silly. So the idea that speaking in tongues sounds funny to people, well, that don't matter at all. It's the Spirit of God that gives the utterance. And watch this. When you pray in the Spirit, your mind doesn't know what you're saying, so your mind can't screw it up. Your mind can't filter out the Word of God. You are declaring by the Spirit the absolute perfect will of God every time you do. And what happens when we speak things in our lives? Come on. They come to pass, don't they? When we by faith speak according to the Word of God, those things come to pass. The Bible says, by two or three witnesses, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. If God said it and then you say it, come on, you've got two. Amen? Amen? So I speak in tongues because there are times when I don't even know what I should be praying for. But when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what I should be praying for. Hallelujah. I worship in tongues because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what I need to say to God. Hallelujah. I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe there's a great, great revival coming, and it will be, part of it is going to be prayer, and part of it is going to be the baptism in the Holy Spirit upon the church, making us better than we really are. Amen. Doing things in us that we shouldn't be able to do. Glory to God. I don't care what the naysayers say. I don't care what those other Christians say. I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally today, I still believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, sometimes, man, you just watch the news and you watch the Twitter feed and you see the lies, the deception. Just, you know what, every news channel will lie to your face. I don't care if they're Republican-leaning or Democrat-leaning. They're just lie to your face to get whatever outcome they want. And unjust things happening, come on. Some people going to prison for a long time for doing some small thing, and then politicians raping children. and they won't even talk about their names. Come on. The ugliness that's going on in the world. Do you ever look at it and you just go, get so frustrated? Because it seems like people used to be held accountable, but nobody's held accountable anymore, especially people with money and power. Sometimes I get so frustrated, and you know what comes to my mind? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. All of the truth is going to be exposed. All of the lies are going to be exposed. All of the deception is going to be exposed. Can I tell you something? The king is coming. And there ain't nobody going to hide from the king. The king is going to show things as they really are. You think you got away with it. You think that you have deceived the world and nobody's caught you. You might even go to your deathbed and nobody knows what you've done. You're listening to me out there. Can I tell you something? The king is coming. And every secret's going to be revealed. And everything that's been an injustice is going to be made right. And every lie that's been told is going to be exposed. And reality is going to be exposed because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you celebrate with me today? Oh, Jesus in Revelations 1:7, behold, he is coming with the clouds and every eye is going to see him. Hallelujah. Every eye is going to see him. Just imagine all the eyes looking at Jesus coming in the clouds. And some got big old smiles because they're expecting him. And some got their mouths wide open in fear because they denied the truth, but the truth came anyway. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Did you catch that? The children of God will rejoice at the return of Jesus. Those who are not the children of God are going to mourn. Come on. Because the king is coming. The king is coming. Hallelujah. The king is coming. You know what's going to happen when the king comes? The king is going to make everything right. Even in the world, but even in me too. Not only are the kingdoms of this world broken and not perfect and messed up, but the kingdom of Milan is not perfect and is broken and messed up. My mind isn't exactly as it should be, and I don't always think like I should, and my mouth doesn't always say what I should, and sometimes I get tired of living in the flesh and not measuring up and not being able to please my Father to 100%. But can I tell you something today? When the king returns, he's going to perfect me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Jude, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Glory to the Lord. I'm going to be joyful on that day when Jesus returns. I don't know what the trumpet sounds like, but I'm looking forward to the sound of the trumpet when the dead in Christ will rise and that we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. The Bible says we'll be with him forever. Glory to the Lord. When the rapture takes place, we'll go to be with Jesus. There'll be 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. A lot of people will tell you that ain't true either, that we're already in the tribulation or the tribulation never happens or the tribulation happened a long time ago. Don't believe them. The Bible says it will be evil on the earth like it's never been before. And you know why? Let me tell you something. You need to get this. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself because I got some stuff in the future. But the Bible says that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the earth in us. And what happens when every place the Holy Spirit lives is raptured away and the Holy Spirit goes with us into heaven? Now there's no praying saints on the earth. There's no light in the world. There's no love in the world. And evil is free to run rampant. That's when the tribulation starts. When you and I, the vessels of God, are gone, the devil comes out of his closet. That ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you how important you are, how powerful you are as a child of God in the world today. The only reason the Antichrist ain't risen his big old ugly head in this world, the only reason the devil doesn't do whatever he wants is because Diane's full of the Holy Ghost, amen? And because Beth is full of the Holy Ghost, amen? Yes, hallelujah. I still believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They can try to hide it. They can try to quiet us. They can try to tell us it ain't true. They can try to water down the gospel, but I'm going to keep digging up these old wells. I still believe that sin is ugly and it's a displeasure to God. I still believe that God convicts us when we sin. I still believe that God does it because he loves us. And I believe that when we recognize it and we turn to Jesus, we have to repent and turn away from our sin. I still believe that we need to be born again, that there needs to be a supernatural change within us. That if you've just been to church all your life but hadn't had an encounter with God where something came alive in you, then you need to be born again by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. I still believe that saints need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God not just in us but upon us and in our minds and our bodies and our will and in our emotions so that we can do what we're called to do. We can be light in this world. And I believe that it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but at some point Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And when he comes, oh man, it's about to get really, really good. Bless his holy name. Let me leave you with this thought today, church. We need a relentless dedication to these core biblical truths. Because if the devil can't get you to outright turn away from God, you know what he will do? He'll try to water down your faith. He'll try to tell you, you know, your sin ain't really that bad. You know what? Everybody's doing it. It's not a big deal. He'll try to tell you that you can't really make a difference in the world, so why would you even try to start that ministry or help your neighbor or say something to your coworker? Don't even bother with that. The devil, he'll try to tell you that it doesn't really matter whether you come to church or not, but the devil is a liar. Let me tell you about church on a little side trail here. The Bible says don't forsake your assembling of yourselves together, right? And it would be nice for us preachers if there was 100 more verses that were like that. But you know why there's not 100 more verses like that? Because the entire New Testament is based upon people going to a local assembly at church. It doesn't have to be written out because the whole idea of the New Testament is based upon people gathering together at a local assembly. Come on. If the Bible tells us that Paul sent Timothy to appoint elders, let me ask you, if you're not going to church, who's your elders? Come on. If the Bible gives us the proper steps to correct Christians when they make mistakes, if you're not going to church, who can correct you? Come on. Let me even go a little farther. And Paul, he gives us instructions about speaking in tongues and giving messages and interpretation in tongues. And he says this. He says, let it be just two or three at the most, and let it be in order. And if there's no one there to interpret, don't speak, don't give a message in tongues at all. Now, let me tell you what I get out of that. Number one, they had to be together for there to be messages in tongues. They had to not only be together, there had to be so many of them that wanted to give a message in tongues, Paul had to limit them. Not only that, get this, they had to know each other well enough to know who had the gift to interpret. How could you say, I want to give a message in tongues, but there's no one with the gift to interpret, unless you were in the house of God so much you knew who had the gift to interpret tongues? Come on. You see what I'm saying? The whole New Testament is full of examples that the church is based upon the gathering of people together in a local assembly. Are you hearing me today? But the world wants to water that down and tell you, you don't need that. You do what you want to do. God loves you, and grace is wonderful. Listen, grace is wonderful, but grace doesn't set you free to sin again. Grace sets you free so you don't have to sin again. Hallelujah. We need a relentless dedication. While they're throwing dirt in these core biblical beliefs, the well of truth, while they're throwing the dirt in, I'm going to be digging it out. Are you with me today? I'm going to be telling the truth whether people like it or not. I'm going to be talking the way it should be, telling God's word the way it should be, because somebody's got to stand up for truth in this world. Are you with me today? Would you say, Pastor, I may not have the mouth you have, but I'm going to stand for biblical truth. If that's you, would you stand to your feet right now? Come on. Say, Pastor, in my world, in my family, in my community, in my church, I'm going to stand for biblical truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lift your hands and let's just praise him today. Glory be to the name of the Lord our God. I still believe. Say it out loud. I still believe.